Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is LNP 155, When Nurses Break the Rules for Giving Medications. If you're a legal nurse consultant helping attorneys with medical malpractice cases, you will see nursing errors involving medications. This is Pat Iyer with Iyer's Insights. Here's a nursing home case that was reported in the January 2018 issue of Medical Malpractice Verdicts, Settlements, and Experts. An 85-year-old woman was admitted to a rehabilitation facility after she sustained a fractured hip. She was on Coumadin for atrial fibrillation and needed INR and PT tests. That's international normalized ratio and prothrombin time. When her INR showed she needed a higher dose of Coumadin, somehow a nurse noted that the physician stopped the Coumadin. After 14 days of being off Coumadin, the patient had a stroke with permanent right side weakness. The plaintiff maintained that the rehabilitation facility was negligent and violated the Nursing Home Care Act by failing to administer the Coumadin as ordered, failing to follow the facility's policies and procedures, and failing to recognize that the stop order was inconsistent with the patient's care plan and bring it to the doctor's attention. The estate also contended the doctor was negligent in giving a telephone order to discontinue Coumadin despite the subtherapeutic INR level, in failing to discover that it had been erroneously discontinued even if he did not give the stoppage order, and in failing to restart the Coumadin. The attending physician denied ever ordering the discontinuation of the drug. The doctor asserted that the nursing staff failed to properly document the purported order so that he could have discovered and corrected the medication error. The rehabilitation facility contended that the attending physician was at fault because he did give the discontinuation order, which was written in multiple places within the decedent's records, where he could have seen it if he had looked at any time in the two-week period prior to her stroke. They claimed there was no reason for the nursing staff to question the physician regarding the discontinuation order. Here's where I disagree. The jury found in favor of the attending physician and the rehabilitation center's administrator, but they held the rehabilitation facility liable for the decedent's treatment and eventual death. The jury awarded $4.1 million in this Illinois case. In my experience, that's a high verdict for a nursing home case. As you heard, the issue surrounded a he said, she said type of conflict. How did that Coumadin order get stopped? Shouldn't the nurses have questioned it if the patient had atrial fib and a low INR? The Institute for Safe Medication Practices has identified 10 elements that are intertwined with medication errors. These are patient information, patient education, drug information, drug packaging, labeling, and language, drug device acquisition, use, and monitoring. These are patient information, patient education, drug information, drug packaging, labeling, and language, drug device acquisition, use, and monitoring, medication storage, stock, standardization, and distribution, adequate communication, staff education and competency, quality processes and risk management, and environmental factors. With so many factors and so much complexity, it is easy to see that errors will occur. Let's look at just a few of these factors. First of all, medication administration workarounds. They can easily lead to medical errors. Healthcare providers use strategies to bypass some of the safety features of the medication administration system. You may have heard about the Wisconsin nurse who took was involved in the death of a 16-year-old pregnant mother. The nurse gave her an infusion intravenously that was ordered for the epidural route. The reason this happened was tied back to the computer system because there was a barcoding system that the nurse bypassed. The nurse did not place an identification band on the patient as required by the barcoding system to match the selected drug. The other nurses in this nurse's department also collectively deviated from the protocols. The department training on the software had been suboptimal. All the nurses agreed that it wasn't urgent to follow the barcoding system because they felt it was cumbersome. The result was a patient death. In another healthcare system, nurses used a software system for medication administration. A blue pill icon became red if the medication was not given, even if there was a reason for it to be held, such as awaiting lab results. The nurses didn't like seeing that icon showing up on their screen because they felt it reflected poorly on their practice. So they noted that the pill had been given to make the icon disappear. The result was some of those medications that were being held were not given at all. Before I continue with the rest of the show, I want to share information about a resource I have for you that gives you vital information about medical errors. I have a one-hour audio training called Killer Cure. Listen in as I interview Elizabeth Bewley, a safety expert, as she exposes the sources of error in the healthcare system. Healthcare kills more than 600,000 people every year, the equivalent of the city of Boston. Elizabeth defines our hidden assumptions about healthcare, medications, and treatments, and why those assumptions put you in danger. She is the president of and CEO of Perio Health Institute and the author of Killer Cure, Why Healthcare is the Second Leading Cause of Death in America, and How to Ensure That It's Not Yours. She was an executive with Johnson & Johnson for 20 years and became interested in patient safety after she had personal experiences with healthcare that almost led to her death. Order this audio training at http://lnc.tips/killercure. That address is http://lnc.tips/killercure, that's all one word, and use the coupon code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. Next, let's focus on barcode medication administration. Correctly used, barcode medication Correctly used barcode medication administration has many important safeguards. Medication administration is documented directly into the EMR, and it's connected by multiple interfaces such as pharmacy orders and the MAR or the medication administration record. The nurse scans the barcode on the medication and the patient's wristband. There are a lot of workarounds that people can use, and they get creative. The labels on medications and on barcoding for the wristbands can be torn, wrinkled, missing, soiled, and covered with another label. The armband may be missing, or the nurse may fail to scan the band. Many times, nurses will print extra labels. They'll have a whole sheet of labels so that they can increase the speed of scanning. They might say, I have four medications to give. I'm going to scan four times on the labels, and I'm going to scan my medications. I'm going to put them all together in a little cup and take them to the room. This workaround typically takes place somewhere other than at the bedside with the patient's identification band barcode. The nurse who does this has missed the check, which is supposed to match the drug at the bedside with the patient's ID. The clinical staff need to be monitored for overriding the safety functions. The nurse may be busy, lazy, or resistant to using the system. Nurses may override the medication barcoding process and just give the medication. This will not activate the alerts designed to prevent giving the medication to the wrong patient. Agency or PRN staff may be unfamiliar with the barcoding system. How were they trained? Who supervised them to make sure that they followed the correct steps? Medication errors can occur if the scanner malfunctions or the battery dies. Devices get dropped, they can be thrown in the laundry or in the cafeteria trays, they can be missing. A scanner could be attached to a large computer cart instead of the wall mount. A nurse may bypass scanning if the cart is too big and the nurse doesn't feel like pushing it. I have seen many cases in which a medication was inadvertently missed because of medication reconciliation. The patient went from the hospital to a continuing care facility. It should have been ordered. It wasn't. And then after the patient got to the new facility for many days or weeks, the impact of not receiving that medication became apparent through a change in the patient's condition. Medication reconciliation may fail because a nurse took on the role on behalf of a physician. Suppose the physician started the discharge process early. Suppose the physician started the discharge process early and missed critical information. The physician may not have done a medication reconciliation. It's important to learn during discovery how the physician had ownership of the medication reconciliation process. Were there policies, procedures, and standards in place that spelled out what happened if the physician did not perform that step? Did the nurses fill in for the physician? This is what could happen. The physician is to do medication reconciliation. Did the physician push it off onto the nurses because he didn't want to do it? Did he leave the hospital without completing it? Did the nurse try to go through the process on the phone with the physician? It's a very dangerous situation. Nurses are not to do medication reconciliation. It is the physician's job. The operational issues that affect the development and the implementation of computerized medical records can alter roles. For example, a physician may be required to do that responsibility of medication reconciliation, but in some settings, nurses and pharmacists have assumed responsibility for what should be the physician task. An EMR may force a physician to perform that work. Lastly, let's look at communication. Wow, there are so many miscommunication results in error. Wow, there are so many ways that miscommunication results in errors. We know that it is responsible for a large amount of medical errors. We have accents that affect the names of drugs. We have nurses who don't question a dosage of a medication that is clearly wrong. We have healthcare providers who don't communicate information about changes in the patient's condition that would alter the treatment plan. I started this podcast with a medication error case. You can see how communication affected the outcome. There was a telephone order to stop Coumadin, which may not have taken place, and a failure to question why Coumadin was stopped. It's just one example of the ways nurses are involved in medication errors. After you stop listening today, check out http://lnc.tips/killercure. After you stop listening today, check out lnc.tips/killercure. After you stop listening today, check out http://lnc.tips/killercure for the details of Elizabeth Bewley's training about medical errors. And be sure to go to legalnursebusiness.com for courses, seminars, webinars, teleseminars that increase your skills and help you build your practice. Look into coaching with me at lncacademy.com to get more clients, make more money, and avoid expensive mistakes. And go to lnceu.com for 2 webinars every month designed to deepen your knowledge and skills. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.